Well, please turn in your copy of God's Holy Word to Psalm 92, Psalm 92, which will be our text for this morning. And if you're new to our church, we have a Psalm of the Month each month as we go sequentially through the Psalm book. As the book of Psalms is our song book in this congregation, it is the song book supplied by God. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:15 that I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And so we survey and summarize these psalms. We're going to do that in one message here so that we would have understanding as we praise God and that the sermon would be a help for our praise. So with that then, please turn to Psalm 92 in your copy of God's Holy Word and give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word, Psalm 92. A psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It is good, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray that he might preach. Bless the preaching of it as well. Let's pray, people of God. Our Father and our God, we come now to the preaching of your holy word. And we come to the preaching of a psalm that proclaims the excellencies of the Sabbath day. And no man, Father, comprehends such spiritual things without the Spirit of God. And so there is no way that this man who preaches now would in his own strength be able to convince a single soul here that they must hallow the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But instead, Lord, we pray that the same Spirit that was on the Apostle Paul in Patmos on the Lord's Day would be the same Spirit who would now speak to the people of God now, that it would be Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, who would minister to these dear people, and that these dear people would have the Spirit of God resting on them, that their ears and their hearts may be opened to the preaching of the Word. Lord, in every way, from preacher to youngest covenant child, we are utterly dependent on you for any blessing now, so give us, Lord, the blessing. And so, Father, as we come to the preaching of the word, we pray that you would help us behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. For we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, in God's providence, people of God, today is the 4th of July. It is America's Independence Day. It happens to fall on the Sabbath day today. And you know, all throughout the land, and maybe if you were like me, you were kept up pretty late because of all the fireworks that were going on last night You know that festivities and assemblies will be breaking out all throughout the day. Patriotic songs will be sung from the heart. Yet, friends, today is actually a greater day of liberty, isn't it? Today is a greater day of liberty. It is the Sabbath day, also called the Lord's Day. And many today who would sing from the heart to a flag would despise the day where the Lord Jesus Christ has set us free. A day that we are called to rejoice in. It's despised by so many, even in the Christian church, that there are many churches all throughout the Metroplex today that have canceled. They have canceled church services. What an awful thing, friends. For they have set aside the greatest day of liberty. The day that celebrates that we are free, free at last from our sin, our bondage to it, and we are freed from the wrath of God in Jesus Christ, who has given us a Sabbath rest. And we have thrown that aside for a temporal liberty that does not compare. We find today in the Psalm book a neglected song, friends. A song that delights in the Sabbath day. A day that is far greater than American independence. And note, when I say these things, I am not denigrating American Independence Day. Instead, what we don't want to do is place it above the Lord's Day. For this is the day when our precious Savior rose again from the dead. And though fireworks reach to a certain height, our Savior reaches into heaven and is seated there. And that's what we comprehend on the first day of the week. And that is something to delight in. That is something to mark out on the calendar. And that is something to cherish. So today I wish to frame the Sabbath as a delight and not a drudge, to preach on the theme that to enjoy the Sabbath, you have to enjoy Christ. Let me express that negatively, because I think it cuts the heart more acutely. You do not enjoy the Sabbath because you do not enjoy Christ. And I want to preach this psalm from that particular theme by the three heads on your outline. That first, the Sabbath is a day to praise Christ's work. Second, it is a day that is despised by Christ's foes. And third, it is a day to grow by Christ's grace. So first, a day to praise Christ's work. And in that, we see the title of the psalm, which gives us its purpose. A psalm or song for the Sabbath day. Don't want to get into this now, but once more, if you've been with us, you find that in the title psalm and song are synonymous as far as the psalm book is concerned. So when we consider what spiritual songs are, we can see them as psalms. That aside, what we want to see here and is too often neglected is that it is meant for singing, isn't it? It is a song. It is a song given to us by God. The psalms are meant to not just be memorized and meditated on, to be preached and prayed, they're also to be sung. And in that, there is something quite unique about them compared to the rest of the scripture. For we have all these manifold uses for the Psalms. Now, we don't know much about the background of this particular psalm, but we know its purpose. Its purpose is very clear, for it is in the title, A Song for the Sabbath Day. It's a song to celebrate the Sabbath day. And that is something that is sorely neglected today, isn't it? When we talk to a friend, maybe who's not convinced of our need to keep the Sabbath, the first thing that they think is that it is a day that is not to be celebrated. And I mean that in the purest sense of the word, celebrated. This is a day to be celebrated. This is not a day to be upset that it is the Sabbath day, but a day, as the Word of God says, to be remembered. Remember the Sabbath day. In essence, remember its glory. And you know that the Sabbath is the fourth of the Ten Commandments, right? And boys and girls, you know that the Ten Commandments summarize the moral law of God. They were given on tablets of stone, after all, signifying their permanence, to express the character of God, written by the finger of God, and are pressed into the hearts of all men as the works of the law in Romans 2, verse 15. And so, friends, the Sabbath is part of all that. And summarized in this way, I'm not going to read all of the Sabbath commandment in Exodus 20, but consider it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. What you have to see here, and this is missed, is that this is a day of grace. This is a day of rest. This is a day that says to you all, stop striving. This is a day that preaches the gospel truth. By grace are ye saved, not of works. That is why, friends, I want you to consider the imagery in the Old Testament. You know, sometimes we wonder, why is the penalty? Why is the penalty so severe in the Old Testament for working on the Sabbath day? Why does a man die? Because God is showing you a truth. You work for your salvation, friend, and you die. Salvation is of grace, not of works. And that's what the Sabbath principle teaches you. It preaches rest. To rest in the salvation Christ has earned. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. Hebrews 4, verse 10. Yet, friends, Satan and the world whisper blasphemous thoughts that this is a day of legalism. And that's horrifying, because nothing is farther from the truth, friends. It is a day of the gospel. The day is reviled because we utterly misunderstand it. And if you have misunderstood it, this psalm and the character of the psalm as a psalm for the Sabbath day helps you interpret the heart of the Sabbath. It is a day, you look at this psalm, it is a day of enjoyment, not of mourning. It's a day of gladness and not of sadness. It is a psalm of thanksgiving, meant to show heartfelt gratitude for Christ. How does it begin? It is good to give thanks unto the Lord. What are you giving him thanks for if you connect it to the Sabbath? For your rest in Jesus Christ, for the gospel. You will, and I will too, misunderstand the Sabbath until you see its Christward orientation. Jesus said what? For the Son of Man is what? Lord, even of the Sabbath day. Matthew 12, verse 18. And I want to treat this briefly because it's important. Some are confused. Because after the Lord of the Sabbath's resurrection, he moved the Sabbath to the first day of the week. Now, why is that? Because on the first day of the week, he was raised for our justification. Right? On that first day, he was vindicated as the Son of God and raised in power and glory. And fittingly, friends, the Sabbath day in the Christian era is called the Lord's Day, after our Lord. And that's biblical. That's not a tradition. You might hear us say the Lord's Day in this church. That's not a tradition. That comes from the Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, when the Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, in the Greek language, Lord's Day is a single word, kuriake. Kuriake. In Greece today, it is the word for Sunday, the Lord's Day. Today, boys and girls, the Greek people call their Sunday Kuriake, the Lord's Day. That's what that word means. It's the first day of the week, and it is the Christian Sabbath. And I don't want to go into too much detail to defend it. That's another sermon. But after his resurrection, for your edification, Jesus only ever met with his disciples on the first day of the week. John 20, verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. And what does he say on the Lord's day? Peace be unto you. Right? This is our day of peace and rest. And the apostles continued in the same way. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And the church is going to continue in that way until Christ returns. I want to just put that before you so that you would make sure that you would see that we are proclaiming today, Sunday, the Lord's Day, is the Christian Sabbath. And that this psalm, Psalm 92, is designed for today, the Lord's Day. And what I want you to see today is what I say so often in so many of the psalms, that this psalm was laying in wait for Christ before it could be sung in its fullness. Until you perceive Psalm 92 and the Sabbath in Christ, you will not perceive either the Sabbath or Psalm 92 in its fullness. And today, what this psalm is saying is because of the Lord of the Sabbath, this is a day of holy gladness. To be hallowed, to be set apart for Him who has earned our justification. It is a holy day, meaning it is a day of holy worship. It is a day to praise Christ for His work from the heart. And one of the greatest, I've gone back to this, Romans again teaches this, the psalm teaches this, we are so reluctant to do what we are called to do on the Sabbath day because we just are not thankful. If we really understood, friends, what God through Christ has saved us from, and has saved us too, oh, would we be so full of thanks that we would say 24 hours is too short a period to praise my God all the day long. But this is a day of praise. Look at verses 4 and 5. For thou, Lord, hast made me what? Glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Truth is, friends, until you understand the works of Christ, until you grasp them and it grips you from the heart, until you adore Jesus Christ for them, until you can say, thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work, you will not enjoy the Sabbath day and you will not desire to hallow it. So what are the works that are to be adored? Why are we made glad? And the Sabbath itself connects two particular works to itself, creation and redemption. Creation and redemption. We saw that in Exodus 20, verse 11. The Sabbath is tied to God's work of creation. For in 6 days God made heaven and the earth. And it goes on, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it is tied to God's work of redemption. Remember that thou wast a servant or slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Creation and redemption. And I've always marveled at something wonderful that the Catechism does. I put it here on question 121 on your bulletin when it talks about the word remember. There's a phrase I underlined there, and it's biblical. And what I've really marveled at is really the essence of how it comes to the Sabbath day. It calls creation and redemption an abridgment of religion. Now, boys and girls, creation and redemption, what that means is that it summarizes our faith. Both creation and redemption, they summarize our faith. You must be glad for both creation and redemption and glorify Christ for both. As for creation, let's start with creation. In the 100th Psalm, we just sang, without our aid, he did make us. Or what about Psalm 139? I will praise thee, why? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, the works of creation especially, and that my soul knoweth right well. We rest on the Sabbath, that we revel in the truth that we are not self-made, but we are wonderfully made by Christ. We rest in the truth that this universe was not made by men, but made by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that glorifies Him, because all things, the Bible says, were made by Him and for Him as well. Colossians 1:16. And I want to start with creation, because first, that's where God starts. But also to remind you, beloved, that you can focus so much on redemption that you can forget that Christ is your Creator too, and is meant to be glorified for that on this Sabbath day. And you can forget, actually, that your redemption itself is rooted in your own creation. How is that? How is that? Well, I'll get to that in a moment. But believer, on the Sabbath, you need to praise Christ for why He created you. That your life has a purpose. And what is the purpose of the life of everyone who believes, who is one of the elect, who is called by God's grace? The purpose of your creation, the Bible says, is to be a vessel of mercy. That was why you were created, to be a vessel of mercy, friends. And sometimes we have to remember that. When things are hard and difficult, we have to remember, I was not created to be a vessel of wrath, but praise God, I was created as a vessel of mercy, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore. The language here is prepared unto glory. Romans 9, verse 23. So when you think of Christ in that way on the Sabbath day, you think of Him as your Creator, and you say, I will rejoice in the works of thy hands, because thou hast made me glad through thy work, because you, O Lord, have made me for glory, where you will be with your Creator forever. And the Sabbath day points you to where you will be as the people of God, which is glory, if you have faith in the Lord. And the Sabbath, this is another sermon, so I'm going to be brief here. The Sabbath prepares you for glory. It weans your heart off of this world. It weans your heart even from those things that are lawful 6 other days of the week. So that at your death, beloved, when Christ calls you into an everlasting Sabbath, you are glad and you are happy to leave this world behind. Because you have delighted in the Sabbath, a foretaste of heaven, and you are ready to go and see Him face to face. So that is creation. But the Sabbath also preaches, remember Christ's work of redemption. And that especially is what we are considering this morning. This day says, and it reminds us, and it should 52 times a year, that I do not enter heaven because of my works, but because of His. That's what this day preaches. As you sing in the 4th verse here, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph, what? In the works of thy hands. Not mine, praise God. Deuteronomy 5 again. Remember that thou wast a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. And as I have said, after the cross, we sing a psalm like this in a new light. It becomes a new song for us, beloved, because at the cross of Christ, we see that that same mighty hand is stretched out on a cross to bear the wrath of God, to pay for our sins, that our Savior was engulfed by the wrath of God, that only the mighty hand of God could absorb. And we say, when we survey the cross, therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. To remember our redemption. To remember and honor His Son, the Lord of the Sabbath, for redeeming us. The commandment's implication when it says that you need to remember the redemption of the Lord is that you and I are prone to forget that Christ has redeemed us by His grace. And that is especially a reason we need to remember the Sabbath day. And, you know, we were thinking of the cross and how it is that our God shed his blood on that cross, Acts 20. To think on such things is to sing verse 5 truly, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Thy thoughts are very deep. And we acknowledge that the work of salvation and the work of creation too originated in the mind of God and not us. Not us, not in the church. It originated in the mind of God. Who else, friends, could come up with the gospel? Who else could come up that God in the flesh, who is present in what we call a hypostatic union, very God and very man, that God in the flesh would pay for the sin of sinners? That's why Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And on the Sabbath day, friends, we don't take advantage of it. We don't take advantage of it. On the Sabbath day, you get a chance to delve into the mind of God as expressed in the Word of God. You know, if you would dive into the Bible, you would marvel and say to Jesus Christ, thy thoughts are very deep, friends. And so this is a day to reflect on the deep things of God. This is a great Bible. I'm not talking about my Bible. I'm talking about the Bible. And the Sabbath is a day to devote to it in public worship, but also in private reading. You need to sit at the feet of Jesus, choose the better part, and learn the thoughts of God. You know, most today are going to run around like Martha, but you need to be as Mary and choose the good part to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ today. So many are full of so many cares. I remember when I first became a Sabbatarian. I was thinking, when is everything going to get done? And I just found myself just like Martha. And yet, over time, you find that you truly have chosen the better part when you sit at the feet of Jesus Christ on the Lord's Day. And I want you to recognize that as we consider the Sabbath's connection to delighting in the Lord. It is a holy day. It is a day of Christ. But, you know, you can't use this. You can't use etymology, right, to bring it back into the Bible and bring a kind of truth there. But there is a sense that, you know, that word holy day has turned into our word holiday, hasn't it? And really, the Sabbath is a holiday with Christ. It's a day where we get to spend with him. Jesus summarized the commandments, of which the fourth commandment is part, that all of them say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The Sabbath is not a day of drudgery. This is a day of heartfelt devotion to the Lord. And yes, it is to be done with all thy heart, soul, and mind. So that when you wake up in the morning on the Sabbath day, and I pray you have been rested well, you say to the Lord, this is your holy day, and he says to you, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. That's what the Lord says on the Sabbath day. Come and spend time with your beloved bridegroom. He whispers, come away from the world, beloved. Rise up, and will you spend a day with me? Your work can wait. Your recreation can wait. Boys and girls, and maybe this delights you, your schoolwork can wait. Tell your parents. The schoolwork can wait because Jesus awaits, friends. On the Sabbath, your bridegroom is here to meet with you, and the psalm celebrates him. But I know that this will not resonate with some of you, maybe, in this room. I hope it resonates with all of you. But in a mixed multitude like this, there are going to be those of you where none of this resonates. And the reason for that is because you do not currently find your delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. Until you can say, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Until you pant and thirst for Christ like that, the Sabbath is a drudgery to you. And I understand why. You say, I have to spend time with God. What will I do those long 24 hours? And the heart of those like that, and this is a convicting text in Amos 8:5. This is the heart of the people like that. When will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat? When will this agonizing rest be over? Isn't that a remarkable thing? I want to go back to selling goods. I want to go back to labor. This is the natural man's religion, a refusal to rest in Christ. When will the rest be over so I can return to work? It's a terrible thing. A terrible thing, beloved. Souls like that are in mortal danger because they do not realize that heaven is an eternal Sabbath. There is no selling of wheat up there, friends. There is no work. There is what is despised, worship and praise in the presence of God. But the man or woman who knows Christ, they will gladly sing the first two verses. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth what? Thy loving kindness in the morning. You see the mercies of Christ in that. And thy faithfulness every night. The entire Sabbath day focuses on what? From morning to night, God's loving kindness and God's faithfulness. That's the focus of the day. It's bookended in our psalm, morning and night. The entirety of the day, he is to be praised for what he has done and out of thankfulness. You know, when we despise the day, we feel the sting of Romans 1, verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's what we do. We say we're not thankful, Jesus, for what you have done for us, Lord Jesus. Instead, I want to go and sell wheat. Well, having understood the depths of our sin and God's right judgment for it, can we say it is too much to spend a single day devoted to the Lord to praise him out of thankfulness? Is that too much? Ask yourself the question, is it too much? More than that, than a bare duty, should we not be delighted in his loving kindness and faithfulness? You know, when you delight in Christ and what he has done, you will delight in his Sabbath. And when the day is over, and I have had many glimpses of it by God's grace in my life thus far, when the day is over, you are actually sad to leave the day and go sell wheat, not the other way around. And it's not like Christ leaves you during the week. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. But it is, if we want to say it's like a holiday, it is like a holiday where you spend so much time with your spouse, right? Even though you're married to her or him throughout the rest of the week, when you're not on holiday, you are sad that you have to leave that time behind and not spend the same intensity of time with your spouse. That the quality of time at Christ's feet has ended. And my sojourning in the world has resumed for another 6 days. And with that, I want to sum up the heart of the Sabbath real briefly for you to consider and meditate on later this day. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. And all of you must really think about these verses and Psalm 92 when you think of the Sabbath. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, that's the Lord of the Sabbath speaking, and call the Sabbath a what? Delight. The holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Do you see how the connection is made between delighting in Christ and delighting in his day? You can't separate the day from Jesus Christ. They're inextricably linked. And I want to remind you, as I think most of us here are Sabbatarians, if you observe the day outwardly, but you despise it in the heart, you are not keeping it. You are like those in Amos 8:5. When will the Sabbath be over so we can sell wheat? And that text chastises us. The right way to observe it is to delight in it because you delight in Christ. And when you grow to love God and Christ in that way, you will hate it when midnight or your bedtime comes. Paul preached till midnight, didn't he? Right? Grow to desire Jesus and adore him and delight in him. And the more you delight in Christ, the more you will delight in his Sabbath. And the more you delight in the Sabbath, the more you will delight in Christ. And it becomes a feedback loop, so to speak. All right, I've gone very long on this heading, but I trust you see the psalm and the Sabbath in its context. A psalm that calls us to glorify Christ and enjoy him on the Sabbath day. And with that, the next two headings will be briefer. We'll consider our next heading, a day despised by Christ's foes. And if we find ourselves struggling with the Sabbath day, and I hope it's been cleared up for you already, it's a very convicting thing, friend, to see who the psalm says hates the Sabbath. Consider verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. A brutish man. Boys and girls, it's a man like an animal. That's a man like an animal. And fools, those are those who say there is no God. They are the ones who despise the praises and works of Christ and his Sabbath. They are the ones who do not delight in Christ, but despise him. Consider the enemies of God in Lamentations 1:7. Jerusalem, this is during the time of Jeremiah and the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy and none did help her. The adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. When the afflicted church in Jeremiah's day thought on the mercies of God and praised him for it, even in the midst of the rubble of Jerusalem, her enemies mocked her Sabbath keeping. Where is your God now? Where is his promised rest? But those men were brutes and fools. So are all those who mock the Sabbath day today. Brutish and wicked men hate the Sabbath. And why do they hate it? It goes back to our first principle. They hate the Lord of the Sabbath as creator and redeemer. As creator, they hate that he says, "You are my work. Submit to me. I have made you." And as redeemer, they hate that he says, "Your wickedness will destroy you and you must turn to me." Consider verses 7 through 9 of our psalm, which speaks of these. When the wicked spring as grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. On the Sabbath day, now, I want to apply this to the people of God. You need to remember, and one of the glorious uses of the Sabbath is to remember that all the works of Christ are as good as done. And when we rejoice in the works of the Lord, we rejoice that Jesus has won the victory over the wicked who afflict us. And when the wicked spring up as grass and workers of iniquity flourish, the Sabbath reminds us that Jesus, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians 2:15. Is that not something to delight in on the Sabbath day? This work of Christ. And when the wicked are as grass here, they spring as grass, when they sprout everywhere, as they do in our day and age, you need to cherish the Sabbath rest all the more and use it well, friends. This will root you when you remember those twin works of creation and redemption. It will root you in Christ's promised victory, and it will quiet your heart. And use the Sabbath day in that way. It will remind you of the good news of the gospel, that by Christ's work, you triumph and you will be glorified. You will persevere to the end. There are so many Christians today that are troubled, beloved. They all need to remember the Sabbath day. What did the Lord of the Sabbath say to his disciples who were troubled? "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, ye might have" what? "Peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Why, friends? Why? because I, Jesus, have overcome the world. That's what the Sabbath day preaches, friends. That Jesus has won. 6 days in the world, you have come today on Sunday, the Lord's Day, this morning. You have come, friends, with a fill of your tribulations in this world. You have been filled with it, as I have too. And if your heart is troubled either by the powers of sin or the powers of this world, Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. Come into my Sabbath rest and find peace. Be of good cheer, because this day points you to his victory, that he has overcome the world. On the Sabbath day, he wants you to take your eyes off of the world, because the world is full of trouble. And he wants you to point at himself to find rest, saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and what will you find? You shall find rest for your souls. Christ's yoke is a yoke of rest, but we want to cast the yoke of the Sabbath off. And on that note, I was thinking of the Apostle John's own troubles. When he was in exile on the island of Patmos, you remember that from the book of the Revelation. But what was going on when Christ came to him? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, wasn't he? He was in the Spirit. He was hallowing the day, wasn't he? He was keeping the day holy. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And it was on the Sabbath then that he received the vision of the Revelation that portended the final and utter victory of Jesus Christ. Would it not be fitting, friends, for him to have sung even Psalm 92, the Sabbath psalm, and receive its ultimate fulfillment, that vision of the Revelation on the Lord's day? The revelation of Jesus Christ. A revelation that the enemies of Christ will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. A revelation that he himself will wipe away every tear from the face of his people. That's the vision we have on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day. It's a vision that we sing joyfully of, or we should, if we would delight in such things. That's why the psalmist says in verses 10 and 11 that the Sabbath has refreshed him. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. As boys and girls, an animal like a rhinoceros. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. To consider the things that we're considering in this psalm was like, on the Sabbath, was like freshly anointing. The fresh anointing of the Spirit for the psalmist. As John did, his eye, he says, sees his desire, and his ears heard his desires. And that's why at the very end, right, you think of the end of the book, which was given on the Lord's day, what does John say? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is all connected to the Lord's day, friends. And you now hear those same messages out of the Word of God, and that anoints you with fresh oil on the Sabbath to hear Christ say, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And then at the end of the service, what does he do? He sends us with the benediction where the light of his countenance shines on us. And we enter our week, we begin our week with a fresh anointing, so to speak, by the grace of the Lord Jesus. We are freshened, our bruises are removed, and our faces brightened, given the grace to face another week of our pilgrimage in this world. And that is the substance of our desires on the Sabbath. Churches, I want you to see how grievous this is. Churches this day have canceled worship to chase after silly little explosions in the sky, when the eternal weight of glory stands before us on the Sabbath day. Our view of the Sabbath, really, and our desire for it, shows us which side of eternity we are likely headed to, friends. So remember that and grow comfortable with the Sabbath day. Well, the final heading this morning is that it is a day to grow by Christ's grace. Verses 12 and 13. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Our place to be on the Sabbath day is where? In the house of the Lord, and to be planted there. Planted there. That you are a fixture, so to speak, boys and girls, in the house of God. And that shows you a certain attachment as well as a certain grounding. That we keep the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to make it a day of holy activity and holy worship, and to delight in that. We cease from our worldly works and recreations so that we can be planted right now. I praise God you have all pushed aside everything on your schedule to be in public worship on the Sabbath day. And the more, what this psalm is saying is, the more that you are planted in the house of God, the more that you are rooted in Christ. Dear congregation, one of the great encouragements you have given me over these past years, is not, you're not saying it about me, you're saying it about yourself, is that you are telling me, from many of you have said this, that you are becoming more and more rooted in Jesus Christ. That you find yourself panting for him more, and you thirst more for his living waters. You cry, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a what land? Dry and thirsty land where no water is. You see the dryness of this world and your sin more, and you become more thirsty for Jesus Christ. And turning to Jesus, your soul grows, we see here in the psalm, fat as you are rooted in him. You become, notice the imagery here, in the desert, you become like a palm tree. Tall, you flourish in a dry land, verse 12. You're flourishing in a place where there is no nutrition because your nutrition comes from Christ. But the wicked are as what? Grass. What a contrast. The wicked rise up and not very far, and they are transitory. They will die and be burned in the fire. Their root is not in Christ. But the righteous are as palm trees and cedars. They endure and endure perpetually. Their union with the Lord of the Sabbath is what causes it. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered like that grass. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Friends, those planted in worship on the Sabbath day grow more rooted in Christ. That is why we have these two worship services on the Sabbath day, so that you can be planted in God's house. To show forth his loving kindness in the morning, what does the psalm say? In the morning, and his faithfulness at night. Take advantage of it, friends. Verse 14 says, you will be fat and flourishing. And you have to believe that by faith. Even if, and I understand our frame, I'm not immune to it, even if at 3:30 p.m. you are a bit weary in the flesh, I hope, friends, that you go to bed with the joy of the Lord. And that you find that your soul has been rejuvenated. That's the prayer and the hope of your elders here as we conduct our two services. And that's our prayer, is that you, beloved, would be fat and flourish in the courts of the Lord. And by faith, none of these things matter really, if you don't believe such things by faith. None of these things are of any use to you unless you believe such things in faith when you come to Christ on the Sabbath. And are these not things to be delighted in? Are these not things to adore Christ for providing for us? They are. And so I want to consider the final promise of verse 14, especially for some of us who are nearing the end of our pilgrimage. To you who are planted in God's house, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. As you grow older, beloved, take this promise to heart. You will bring forth fruit in old age if you are planted in the courts of God. You will never be destitute spiritually. Never. Never. This is Christ's promise. You will still bear fruit, and he says abundantly so. Aged men and women who have longed for the Lord's day, who spend their time devoted to Christ, are often the greatest encouragers and edifiers in the church. I think you know that by experience. Being planted in God's house for so long, they become especially sanctified. And you need to believe that for yourself, that promise. Believe it as you grow older and your days draw near to a close. The apostle says, we faint not. And you need to see that. We faint not. Why? That though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The body decays, yes. But oh, how the soul is renewed when you are planted in Christ. You know, I think of the American church especially, and I think that the world has robbed the church of so much strength when it tells us that the elderly are of no use in society. No, in the church especially, it is never too late to serve Christ. Never let old age stop you. We buy the lies about the importance of youth and the unimportance of the aged. So the aged are marginalized and not heard from. That's the way of the world. But we believe by God's grace that the old in Christ will bear fruit. Which is why, friends, I want you to remember this, that those who shepherd the church of God are called elders and not youths. God wants men called elders to shepherd the church. Do not be embarrassed of your age, believer. Embrace it, because the Bible says the hoary head is the crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 16:31. You know, it's very telling in our society, isn't it, that very few are willing to embrace the gray head. Today, 70-year-olds will dye their hair to make it more vibrant than mine. Yet, in God's economy, it is the hoary head that wears the crown of glory if it be righteous. Do not let the enemy discourage you from Christian service as you grow old. God's desire is you bear fruit in old age. And the aim of the psalm and the Sabbath, and we'll wrap up with this, is in verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. We come full circle, friends. The psalm began with praise and it ends with praise, and it reflects the Sabbath day in that. It begins with praise and it ends with praise. I often say to you, don't you know that, beloved? I hope you do, that at the end of your day, that your praise to God at the end of the afternoon service is greater than your praise in the morning. Because you see the goodness of God. You see Christ more clearly, and you have these things renewed, so that at the end of the day, you praise Christ all the more. If you would reflect on the goodness of God throughout the day, you would find more praise pours out from your heart when the evening service is over. After edifying conversations with one another as well, you would praise him the more. And at bedtime then, you would lay your head not on your pillow, but as Jacob did, on Christ the rock, wouldn't you? I rest at the end of my Sabbath days knowing that Christ is my rock, who saved me from the miry pit of my own destruction, that on him is my house built. He is the foundation of my life, that Christ the rock is my strength. Christ who gushed forth living waters nourished me today. Christ the righteous was made sin for me, that I might become in him the righteousness of God. These are all the reflections of Christ the rock in our psalm. And so the Sabbath ends with praise when Christ has become that to you on the Sabbath day. And you go to bed then with that fresh anointing of the oil of his spirit that we sing of in this text. This psalm, then, I hope you have seen today, frames the Sabbath in the light God intended. If you would see, friends, that to ask this question, what must I not do on the Sabbath, is to begin with the wrong question, really. Instead, if you would enjoy Christ and the things of God, you would find the 24 hours of the Sabbath would be over in a snap, really. And what you ought to do becomes very obvious and very plain. I will not work on the Sabbath because I want to rest in Christ's work and I want to grow by his grace. I will not engage worldly amusements because I want an otherworldly blessing from Christ. To know the essence of this Sabbath psalm guides you in Sabbath observance. The Lord has always said, remember the Sabbath. And friends, just a couple practical things. I know we're running out of time. When I go on vacation, when I go on holiday, so to speak, I plan ahead. And I remember the Sabbath day. Tomorrow I should remember the Sabbath day, not just what happened today, but also to plan for the Sabbath ahead. Remember the Sabbath and long for it on Monday. Start to jot down things that you would like to do on the Sabbath day, and maybe you need to do that so that when the day comes, you don't go, what will I do today? Corporate worship, of course, that's essential. That's the heart of the day. But what about times of prayer? If you're like me, your prayer list is ginormous. And it's very hard to find time to fit everything in. But couldn't you take an hour or two in prayer on the Lord's Day to just pray? You need more time in the secret place. Well, the Sabbath is built for you. Your reading list, if you're like me, is far too long. Do you have edifying books to read? Read them. Are you behind on your Bible reading plan? Catch up. Soak up the time. But also, don't neglect the duty that we have to be merciful. How about visiting the saints or the sick, those who are discouraged? What about hosting the people of God? What about inviting unbelievers on the Sabbath to your home so that you may minister Christ to them? Not to watch football, but instead so that you may have a word to say about Jesus and to feed them and to be merciful to them. And do not neglect physical rest either, true. But physical rest does not have the primacy on the day, but it is secondary. All I'm saying with this is that with some intentionality, the Sabbath's blessings will be amplified and you will go into it having a list of things to do and you will, at the end of your day, say, I couldn't get to it all. Many of us are unprepared for the day because we don't prepare for it. That's why God says, remember the Sabbath. And why the Puritans called the Sabbath day the market day of the soul. Because that's what it is. And may it be that for you. So all that said, delight in Christ and delight in his day. Enjoy Christ, beloved. That's the one thing, if you could take away from this sermon, is that on this day you must enjoy Jesus Christ. Take advantage of the day in its fullness. Grow fat on Christ. There are too many lean Christians. Lean because they do not feed on Christ on the Lord's day. I began by saying, to enjoy the Sabbath, you must enjoy Christ. And I have hoped that you have seen that theme woven all throughout the Sabbath psalm. And so if others try to make you think this is a day of legalism and it's not a day of grace, sing the Sabbath psalm. And show them how delightful it is. That man's chief end is to glorify God and to fully enjoy him forever. And that chief end is magnified on the Sabbath day. Sing Psalm 92 with that first question in view. And enjoy Christ for the rest of this day. Amen. Amen. Please rise for prayer if able.